Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Let's also welcome right now, of course, the great Ron Jaworski. He joins us every Tuesday at this time. We always
love
talking.
Good morning, everyone. Hope everyone's doing great.
Good morning, Joss. How are you, pal?
Oh, just absolutely awesome. Going to be another beautiful day. Get on the golf course this afternoon.
Joss, what are you hitting these days? Are you in about 81, 78? What's your average?
No, you know, I'm in the mid-80s right now. My handicap's a 14. Just doesn't go as far as it used to, Joe.
Yep. No, I understand.
78, that would be impressive.
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
Wow, Ron, that's strong work.
Well done. All right, Joss, so let's start with this. I have said for years that I believe the two individuals that get the focal point, more discussion about them than anyone else in Philadelphia sports, is the Eagles quarterback and the Eagles head coach. I mean, all due respect to the Sixers star, Dr. J, Charles Barkley, Allen Iverson, Joel Embiid, pick your guys, right? But quarterback and coach of the Eagles is like the main thing. And I'm curious, because you've been one of these, what is it like, let's focus on Sirianni particularly, the week he had last week, to get a win after being in the eye of the storm the way he was, what is that feeling like if you're that guy?
Well, obviously the feeling is good, but I think you have to be very, very careful never to get too high when you're successful and too low when things aren't going well. You're never as good as you think you are, and you're never as bad as you think you are. Dick Vermeil used to always use that statement. So that's kind of what I've kind of lived by. Try not to get too high when things are going well and puff your chest out because you're doing well, and all of a sudden things don't go well and you get too down. So I think being as level as possible is the way to be, and you are 100%. Correct, Joe. The quarterback, the head coach in this town on a football team are going to get all the praise or all the negativity when it does happen.
Do you, Joe, take a moment by yourself, even if you don't tell it to the world, and say to yourself, I freaking did it. The heck with those people for a week. They can shut up.
I would probably say yes to that, Joe. I don't actually remember that, but I would say there were probably times I said, you know, screw everybody, I can get it done, and I'm sure that's the way we all think sometimes.
Joss, how much better was our quarterback in New York?
He was good. I thought he left some plays on the field once again, and I also think I think we were fortunate that it was New York Giants, and you know they. Mm-hmm. They're just a bad football team right now. They have some talent, but they're a bad football team. But, you know, Jalen was sacked four times in this game. You know, he dropped back 21 times. He ran three times, was sacked four times. He really only threw 14 passes in the game. And our offensive line did not play well in pass protection.
Right.
In running, they were absolutely phenomenal. But I think I'm very thankful looking back at that game that it didn't turn into a game where we needed the passing game and had to protect Jalen because
right.
He just wasn't there. I mean, he was sacked four times early in that game in the first quarter. We couldn't protect for him.
Joss, you chalk that up to just the injuries and the turnstile, the rotating through of just whoever could get up there, or is this a problem that will persist and we need to address?
I think, you know, against a team like the Giants, who have a very good pass-rushing team, even without Thibodeau, they're a good pass-rushing team. But our offensive line just didn't play well, like I said, in the pass protection scheme.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not the scheme, just individual effort. I mean, effort was there, but you know the skill wasn't there. The Giants had good pass rush pressure. But like I said, in the running game, John, it was just absolutely phenomenal the way they blocked in the running game. In fact, as I was watching the tape last night, and I was charting out you know, where the runs were going, it was a very diverse running game, and obviously Saquon Barkley was through the roof, phenomenal.
Yeah.
But when I was done, it, you know, he had obviously had 176 yards. 96 of those yards came after contact. Think of that. 96 yards.
Wow.
This guy's a stud, man. After he got hit, he still gained 96 yards. But what was most impressive to me was, you know, 80 of those yards came before contact. So that means the offensive line was really road grading his way to getting a clear path into the linebacking core and the secondary. So those are kind of unique stats that jumped out at me after I went through the tape last night.
Yeah, that's wonderful. But I look at some other stats. We were 1-for-13 on third down. 1-for-13 converting third down. That doesn't win you many games. What was the offensive problem on third down?
Yeah, there's no question. You go 1-13, you're normally going to get a big L in that game. So we were fortunate to get a win against. And we got to be realistic. As excited as everyone is about, you know, play a couple wins. You know, outside of Carolina, we probably played maybe a couple of the worst teams in the NFL the last couple of weeks. So, but you know, hey, that's the schedule. We're not making that to denigrate anyone. You know, those are teams that were on the schedule. The Eagles played well enough to win both those games. The defense is, you know, starting to formulate themselves into shape. The young guys are playing well. That's good to see. Good to see. And Kobe Dean start to get some pressure on the quarterback with blitzes. So Vic Fangio's kind of mixing things up a lot better than he was early in the year. Very happy about that. But there's a long way to go, but it's nice to get a win. And kind of a win where in the second half you could breathe rather than hold your breath for every play that goes on. I was very, very happy and content with the win.
How important is it for this offense to score in the first quarter against the Bengals?
Oh my God! We're sitting all watching the game, thinking, "Can they please score? Let's get this 100-pound gorilla off our back, and get a score in the first quarter, so we can quit talking about scoring in the first quarter." So it just didn't happen. So now we got to go on to the next game, see what happens against Cincinnati, and hopefully we can score in the first quarter.
Charles, we're all trying to figure out the why of that struggle. Do you have any theory of why that is?
I think sometimes you think about it too much as a player, and maybe even the coach. But I think some of it is scheming and game plan. I think the great coordinators in this league, the great coaches in this league, you know, some teams use the first 12.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
Oh, some teams use the first 15 to kind of script their offense. And I think, you know, to me, a lot of that comes to coaching. You know, when you can dictate to a defense based on what you found in film study, and you can get explosive plays early. You can dominate games early. You can get a lead early. I think a lot of that comes down to coaching. And obviously, at the end of the day, players have to execute. But I think it's up to the coaches to put players in a position to be successful early in the game.
Charles, let me ask you about the Eagles' defense here and finish this sentence. The Eagles' defense is what?
Getting better. A work in progress. I we talked about it a little bit last week. I love seeing the young players. When you look at the group of 11 players, and obviously they interchange, but on the field, it's younger, it's faster, it's quicker. Yes, are they out of position at times? Yes. Do they make mistakes? Yes. But you see young guys flying around, they're only going to get better from that. So I think the fact that all these young players in the secondary now, the defensive line, the linebackers are young players. This is a group that has a chance to be really good as time goes on.
What's making them better tacklers now? It just feels like, I don't know, a month in.
Like last week they actually practiced tackling. So maybe that had something to do with it.
They put the pads on. Yeah, put the pads on.
Wouldn't you think that they should go and practice accordingly? Like maybe during training camp you could actually tackle guys?
Well, you only get so many padded practices, John, so don't get too excited about it.
But we never use them. Like, we get them. We never tackle guys when we get those padded practices.
The only way to get better is to practice at him, and obviously and it's not coaching, it's the collective bargaining agreement. These are the rules you got to play by, and it makes it very difficult to improve.
That is something else. So
I'm with you. We could talk about that all day long.
You're right.
It's not going to change. And I'm all for player safety. Don't get burned. I know you are as well.
Yeah.
But it's hard to get better when you don't practice.
By the way, I think John may not be for player safety, just for what it's worth. Based on what he said on the 8 years we've done a show, I don't know. Hey, Charles, let me ask you about Cooper DeJean. So I think it was pretty obvious right away this year, right away, that Quinyon Mitchell's a baller. I mean, you could just say it. The Green Bay game, you could say it. We've now got a couple games of Cooper DeJean. Not on the same level as Quinyon, but he looks like a baller as well. Do you think he's legit, legit?
Legit. I totally agree with you. And I got to tell you, what I like when I looked at Quinyon last night, he is now getting more physical, more violent. I would say, now I didn't chart every game of where he lined and what his depth was from the wide receiver, but in this game against the Giants, he was up in guys' faces, and he was knocking them backwards off the ball as a wide receiver, as a defensive back going head-to-head. So that was very impressive that he not only can play loose and cover, he can get in a press man-to-man situation and jam you at the line of scrimmage and not let you off the ball. That was impressive. I think the thing that jumps out at me, last week in particular, we talked about the three times he blitzed in the game. Finally, we got some creativity and safeties coming after the quarterback. He did not blitz against the Giants, but you can see the talent that he has. These young guys are flying around. They missed some tackles. I'll admit that they missed some tackles, but clearly you'd rather see guys missing tackles going full bore than backing away. So I got really, you can probably tell in my voice how excited I was about seeing these young guys in the secondary.
It's exciting. We have Sidney Brown also. I mean, Sidney Brown, we don't get to see as much of him. He's going to be more special teams and just in there every once in a while here and there defensively. But I'm excited about what he can bring. What are the odds?
I think Vic Fangio will find a way to get Sidney Brown on the field. He's a baller. And I can remember going to training camp last year and seeing him. I said, man, this guy can absolutely fly to the football, diagnose, fire his gun, and go. And I said, you know, this guy can be a tremendous player himself. And it's good to have a wealth of personnel in the secondary.
That's amazing. And when Vic Fangio, when his name was brought up, when Sidney Brown's name was brought up, this was maybe a month ago. He was still, you know, on the injured list.
Yeah.
Vic Fangio lit up, and I agree with you, Jaws. It feels like Fangio has plans for this guy because he's the kind of guy he wants out there, like Cooper DeJean, who just wants to strike people, and that makes you better as a defense when you got guys who are just tough.
And, no question. And you know, our defense is a read and react position. No matter what, lineman, linebacker in the secondary, read and react and fire that gun and go. And that's what I'm seeing out of this group right now. Now, hey, I want to see it, you know, this week against a good Cincinnati Bengals offense. We want to see it down the road when, obviously, you look at the Commanders. They're playing well offensively right now. When we get together against a good offensive team, a balanced offensive team. And by the way, speaking of balance, boy, that Baltimore Raven team last night looked absolutely unstoppable on offense. You know, they could run, they could throw, they could go inside, outside, they can power run, they can go deep. It looked like a complete team. We get to see them in a few weeks down the road. But boy, the Ravens did look good last night.
Charles, last thing here. You know, it looks like this season may be coming into focus as an Eagles-Washington division. Is Washington legitimate?
They're better. I don't think they're – I'll be honest with you guys. Quote honest, Dallas still bothers me. You know, they're and they always bother me. They concern me right now. Although, you know, they're playing poor football. You know, they've got a lot of guys that picked on the defensive side that are injured. They're going to get a lot of people back. It's going to. I think, despite the Commanders playing good football right now, I don't think they're at the next level yet. They're going to get there. The quarterback is phenomenal. Their offense has been very good. Their defense is suspect. They lost Allen, their defensive tackle, so that's going to hurt them. But I think when all is said and done, when you look at the rosters of both teams, I still think it's going to be Philadelphia and Dallas.
Hey, Jaws, great stuff, my man. We enjoy every time we have you on. Look forward to it next week and hopefully a 5-2 team. Thank you, Jaws.
Got it. Go Birds.
You got it. There he is, Ron Jaworski.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune I'm CNBC's senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.